This is 10 Seconds to Happy, where a little knowledge can make a really big difference, and so can a few seconds. Welcome, everyone. I am Sherry Speroni, and today's broadcast will be a sobering one. Researchers at Cohen Children's Medical Center in New Hyde Park estimate that more than 3,000 families will bury their teenagers this year killed while texting and driving, plus 300,000 injuries. This beats drunk driving at 2,700 deaths a year, not to mention hundreds of accidents that don't report texting as the cause. These are sobering, heartbreaking numbers, entirely preventable deaths. We all know it's dangerous. We've all seen the accidents. We've heard the warnings. So what is it in the human brain that allows us to overestimate our capacity to avoid danger where others obviously could not? We smoke but think we'll avoid cancer. We don't wear our seatbelts and don't think we'll be in an accident. And we drive after having one too many drinks because, hey, we can handle it. And then we wonder why our teenagers replicate that behavior and take constant chances in their world, one being texting while driving. So we all take these risks, but what are we taking the risk for in the first place? What is the reward we're chasing? Any idea? We have all asked that rhetorical question after we are in trouble. How could I be so stupid? Our bad choices seem ridiculous after the fact. Well, today we can look to science for some of those answers. And don't roll your eyes. Would you try to figure out why your leg hurts without an x-ray? Understanding what is driving your behavior from the top down will be like seeing a fracture on an x-ray for the first time. You'll get it. Briefly, I will repeat what I have taught in most of my other podcasts. And that is, we come pre-wired with programming that is thousands of years old that directs our actions toward things that will prolong our life and away from things that don't. Which back then was a lion in the bushes or a tribe member with a really big stick and a really bad attitude. This outdated programming has us living in fear of problems everywhere, under severe stress every day. It has not evolved to consider modern day living. So an adult's brain overreacts to a flat tire or being late to work as if their life is in jeopardy. And a teen brain panics as if their social standing is a matter of life or death. All courtesy of our amygdala. Remember, that is the small area in our brain that sounds an alarm, warning us we are in danger, which is going off most of the time. And all it takes are some passing thoughts. Now, don't forget to listen to my podcast, Why We Do What We Do, for more information. Your brain's number one goal is to keep you alive and to ensure your safety by having you chase things like intimacy, being with the in crowd, or gaining status. But in the modern day, following those urges can get you killed, as over 3,000 kids can attest to. But anything that threatens your status, friendships, or social standing will cause your brain to sound warning bells telling you it's time to panic. And that is all one needs to grab that phone and ignore the road. So what is the trade-off? Well, when you are secure in those areas, your brain rewards you by releasing bursts of oxytocin, serotonin, and dopamine, three prime neurochemicals in your brain that make you feel awesome. And before you're going, huh? Get used to hearing those names. They control almost everything you do and why you do it. Let me quick give you a summary. Dopamine is the passion and excitement behind love and the thrill of riding a roller coaster. It's why people do cocaine. It's the voice in your head that yells, oh yeah, when you think about a bowl of ice cream or sex. Serotonin, well, that's often thought of as the happy hormone, because without it, you would be seriously depressed. Serotonin wants us to feel very good about ourselves and our lives. You are likely to feel it after a compliment or while looking at a sunset. And oxytocin is the hormone of love, trust, bonding, hope, and healing. It is released upon childbirth, after having sex, and during cuddling, which enhances trust and allows bonds to form with significant others. So if you want to understand your own behavior and those of your loved ones, you have to become familiar with this terminology. Now, all three of these influence your motives, agendas, enthusiasm, your drives, and your instincts. Now, I have simplified this big time. There are over 100 of these neurochemicals, also known as hormones, running around your body. But for today, I will only talk about these three. These three can make you feel alive and can also cause you to make decisions that can cost you your life. See, we all have a basic instinct to preserve our life, but evolution and our common sense aren't always on the same page. We don't cross a road with our eyes closed. We don't eat food after it's been dropped in some dirt, no matter how hungry we are. Yet we still disregard all the exterior warnings about texting or a host of other behaviors when our inner warning system is telling us that other things are more important, like getting our dose of oxytocin and serotonin. If we can learn to understand what is behind this strong desire to read our text or speed, maybe we can control these urges better. Of course, this relates to all the dangerous, stupid crap we do. But for the scope of this talk, let's just focus on texting and driving. As I have taught in prior broadcasts, human beings are wired to connect and communicate. Now, women lead the way, as we are built 100% for connection. Hence, we bring in the babies. Males have been less inclined to spend hours on the phone or pass notes to each other between classes. But suddenly, even boys are texting back and forth with their friends, albeit short and abrupt at times. But they are still just as compelled to do it as girls. As I have explained before, serotonin and oxytocin are the driving force behind making us feel really good when we reach out and touch someone. Technology has made that even easier and faster. Therefore, so are the warm, fuzzy rewards we get accustomed to. Being in constant contact has become a habit for our teens, similar to an addiction. Now, I know some parents out there think their kids really are addicted to texting. And in a sense, they aren't far off. Every one of us crave the highs of serotonin and oxytocin, as they make us feel safe, connected, cared about, and give us an overall sense of peace and well-being. So here we are, taking our eyes off the road, our eyes off the tasks at hand, and our eyes off the people that are sitting right in front of us, just to see who is trying to connect with us and give us an extra squirt of the good stuff through an object we hold in our hand. The vibration or ding goes off, and like Pavlov's dog, we immediately have to answer the resonating question deep within. Who needs me? Who wants me? Who needs my help? Who needs my advice? Who wants to include me? But for teenagers, the bigger question is often based in fear. Who is going to exclude me? In the world of a teenager, it is not the passing of information that arrests their attention, but rather the ongoing pursuit of higher social standing and intimacy, which to our Stone Age brain is paramount and key to our survival. Thus, the wonderful high of oxytocin and serotonin is our reward when we think we are in good standing. And it is the driving force behind the success and powerhouse social media has become. So now we have a habit developed by instincts driving many of our decisions. This drive that hijacks our common sense to take our eyes off the road would be better addressed if we understood that all we are chasing is a hit of one of our own wonderful brain chemicals. Expounding on the dangers to a teenager is no different than telling them that drinking and driving and unprotected sex is dangerous. They all feel they can do it safely as that warm, fuzzy feeling awaits them. But if we can pull back the curtain of their subconscious mind and teach them that all they are really chasing are reassuring hits of these neurochemicals, it could help them to delay the action of looking at their phone until they are not driving. Just like an alcoholic needs to have all of their underlying drives, agendas, and pursuits of intoxication understood prior to them being able to stop. Warnings like you'll get cirrhosis or you're going to lose your job fall flat, yet we try the same approach with our teens. I think it would behoove us to try to have workshops for teenagers that would teach them what it feels like when various chemicals are released, so they can identify the craving for them when they appear and not immediately succumb to them as if they were an urgent need that had to be met. Now, teenagers are much more driven for this human connection than adults for the simple reason that they are at a stage in their life when they are starting to separate from their parents in order to become independent adults. Of course, they are completely unaware that the separation from their parents has caused their own oxytocin, chemical for bonding, to wane, making them feel a bit empty, driving them into the arms of boyfriends, girlfriends, and friends. And underscoring this need for connection is the haunting fear of being excluded. We all know what a great motivator fear can be. So when that text comes in, the fear that something has happened that could oust them from their group, from a party, or just from a night out with friends, translates into a desperate urge to know at this very moment, are they okay? For us adults, it can be nothing more than a little boredom in the car with your own thoughts, that when that text goes off, suddenly you are welcoming the interruption, whether it is an invite, response to your Facebook post, or one of the kids with a question. Whatever it is, odds are it's going to give us a new feeling we will welcome, thanks to oxytocin and serotonin. Once we are aware of what we are chasing, we can delay the immediate gratification and instead ruminate on what might be waiting for us and look forward to reading it after we stop the car. As I have explained before, just the thought of good things can make you feel really good, because your brain doesn't know the difference whether it's real or imagined. So use that to your benefit. Let the good side of your imagination run wild and arrive alive. That's it for this podcast. Be sure to check out all of my other podcasts on iTunes or Facebook under the name 10 Seconds to Happy. You can also send me your questions or request an individual session to work through painful memories and find that elusive happiness. Always check my Facebook page, as any speaking engagements will be announced there. So till next time, please keep finding those reasons to smile. They're everywhere around you. Bye.